To What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you once again for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Your prayers and financial contributions have kept us on the air for over 40 years now, and we cannot do this without you. So continue to do what you do, and we'll continue to bring you wonderful shows like the one we have for you today. And I don't have any ads to run other than a reminder about our Matt Talbot Shrine that recently opened at St. Gabriel's Church down at 29th and Dickinson Street in South Philadelphia. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 a.m. Mass until at least 6 o'clock in the evening. So you'll want to make a pilgrimage down there and visit that shrine. There's really an electricity in that church that you can feel it. There's no other way to put it. It's like a palpitation. You walk in there and you can just feel the presence of God and the holiness of Matt Talbot. So if you or a loved one struggle with addiction, please make a pilgrimage down and see us. We'd love to see you there at the shrine. And without any further ado, I want to bring in our guest is Christine Watkins. And we had her on a couple months back, and we talked about her book, The Warning. And after the conversation, we swapped some emails, and I wasn't aware of it, and she made me aware of it, of another book that she's written called Mary's Mantle, The Consecration, A Spiritual Retreat for Heaven's Help. So welcome to the show, Christine. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Ken.
And so the book's available at queenofpeacemedia.com along with all the other publications that Christine puts out. And I'm sure links there to a number of videos that are now available. We only had a moment to speak before we got on, but she's done a series now on the vaccine and the COVID vaccine. And so I'd encourage you to check that out. And we may even have Christine back to talk about that in the near future. But what was interesting to me, Christine, with the book, and I didn't realize that it was as new as it was. I saw that the Archbishop had just dated the letter July 28th, 2020, so I guess we're coming up on about a year since it was published. And
yes.
And I myself, I've been through a few different Marian consecrations. I started out with St. Maximilian Kolbe and his formula for the Knights of Immaculata. And then I learned about St. Louis de Montfort's consecration and went through that one. And then a few years back, Father Michael Gately with the Marians of the Immaculate Conception came out with one that combined Louis de Montfort along with Maximilian Kolbe and St. Teresa of Calcutta and John Paul II. And I went through that one. And now I'm preparing to go through Mary's Mantle Consecration. So I really want to talk about it because it's something that I hadn't heard of. And it's really, I think, unique amongst the others. And as you say, it's an ancient form of the consecration and really precedes any of the ones that I just mentioned.
Yes, it actually did. It's a new version of a very old consecration that really was demanding to come back into the life of the church in full force, and it's endorsed by Archbishop Salvatore Corleone and Bishop Myron Cotta, and it's called Mary's Mantle Consecration, A Spiritual Retreat for Heaven's Help. And it's very different from all the others, so if you've already done one of the consecrations, especially one of those wonderful ones that you just mentioned, Ken, this would not be redundant in any way, really. It's kind of like getting your house blessed and then getting it blessed again, but in an entirely different way, because the other consecrations beautifully focus on what saints have said about Mary and who she is and what she can do for us and her intercession. And this one also has aspects of that, but it's more about how we can become like her by emulating her virtues, by accepting and practicing the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in our souls. So to become like God, to enter directly into heaven, we can only get there if we're perfected in all the virtues. So this is a path to work on that most important work of our soul. And I think practicing virtues is, and looking at what they are, there's so many of them that is kind of a lost art in the church, unfortunately. I don't know how that got dropped.
Yeah.
But we need to pick it back up.
Yeah.
And, yes.
So, in the section about the origin and dedication, so does this precede Our Lady of Guadalupe and then it was adapted for that, or...
No.
Okay, so it begins in Mexico with El Manto de María.
Right, and we all can say it with a really good Mexican accent. You ready? El Manto de María.
El Manto de María.
Oh, muy bien. So, yeah, so Our Lady of Guadalupe appears, and out of that miracle... On her mantle are 46 stars, and I was just in Mexico. It's beautiful to see it. So a lot of people already know about this miracle, which is a perpetual apparition, believe it or not. It's not an image that was painted by God onto the tilma of St. Juan Diego in 1531 when she appeared to him, and millions were converted from being Aztec and Mayan to the Catholic faith. In just a few years, it's actually a living apparition that lives on top of a tilma, a piece of cloth that will not deteriorate. So in this living apparition are 46 stars. And so there are 46 days to the consecration, and each day you add a star to her mantle, and this is also a visual that happens through the book. And so each day you read a virtue or a gift of the Holy Spirit, you try to incorporate that into your life. And you can do it as an individual, as a couple, as a family, as a group. And it's great for people who feel confined to their homes or they're lonely or they can't reach out, because you can form a group and contact each other, and you get daily emails. If you have a group or a parish, you have a coordinator who sends it out and reminds you to do the daily reading. And so you add a star to her mantle, and it's a good, you can start any day, but you want to end ideally on a Marian feast day. And there's so many of them. So at the end of it, Our Lady is shining bright with stars on her mantle. And if you have a group doing it, each person is a star on her mantle. And when you come across that star that day that you are assigned a star, you fast on that day. And on your fasting day, everyone in the group says a rosary for you and offers up their intentions for you and your intentions. So there are four things that incorporate this consecration. And there's a journal that goes with it to go deeper into the virtues and the gifts. Every day, you say a rosary. So when it comes to asking and receiving magnanimous graces from God, next to the Holy Mass, there's nothing like the Holy Rosary. And then perhaps you're doing this consecration by yourself, you get the benefits of a daily rosary. If you're doing it in a family, you get the benefits of everyone else's daily rosary. And then it multiplies and multiplies if you're doing it in a group. You also have a fasting day, at least one. You decide how many days you want to fast throughout the retreat. And I can speak more about the benefits of fasting, but it's needed in our day and age. I don't think it was never supposed to be optional. He said, when you fast, do not fast like the hypocrites do in Matthew 6. He didn't say, if you plan on fasting one day, well, you know, if you really feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
He just spoke of it as though his disciples were doing it and was telling us how to do it. So this is a lost practice that absolutely needs to be revived and evokes miracles. Talk about casting out demons. Talk about breaking strongholds. You know, you speak of your addiction work. It's absolutely critical. If we want to see our lives change, if we want to see graces flow in, if we want to see healings, if we want to see conversions, we can keep praying and we can keep pounding on God's door. But if we're not fasting, we simply aren't getting the grace that's needed, because the strongholds, as Jesus said, you know, the disciples go out, and in many versions of Mark chapter 9, they say, hey, we were trying to cast out these demons and it wasn't working. What's going on, Jesus? And he said, this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting.
That's right.
So, yes, I mean, I could do a whole show on fasting, but before the Ten Commandments came, huge grace for the world, Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Before he did his public ministry, the best grace for the world ever received is Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Esther, in the book of Esther, prevented the Jews and the Persian Empire from being wiped out by prayer and fasting. And the disciples, the apostles, before they chose a new person to minister and be part of their group, prayed and fasted for discernment. So this is not something that isn't part of our faith. This is not something that isn't intrinsic to our faith. So you have the rosary each day. You have fasting assigned. You have the sacrament of reconciliation before you do your consecration. You're praying and reading. It's only 2 minutes a day. Very easy to do. At minimum, you're doing a reading, and this is a beautiful meditation that is often people's favorite part of this consecration. So in the book, Mary's Mantle Consecration, A Spiritual Retreat for Heaven's Help, every day you do a two-minute reading on a virtue, a meditation on it. And in the journal, if you have time, you read about a saint's quote on that virtue or gift. You have journaling space. And you also read a quote from scripture about that virtue or gift. And you journal about how that virtue is or isn't in your life and how God and Mary are bringing it into your life. Very, very powerful. My son, who just turned 17, he said that by doing the journal and the Mary's Mantle consecration, it was what brought him to Mary, and it was what helped him in certain virtues he was struggling with. It literally changed him. So it's kind of cool to have a young teen boy benefit from something that goes so deep. And then you go to reconciliation, and then you're prepared to do the prayer of consecration. And the prayer of consecration is unique in and of itself, because when St. Pope John Paul II, his first trip outside of Rome when he was Pope, was to visit Our Lady of Guadalupe's Tilma in the Basilica in Mexico City, and he went there and said this beautiful prayer of consecration in front of her. And so those are the words that we say. And that doesn't tell you the origin of it. I could also go into that, if you'd like, of how it even started in Mexico. But that is basically the consecration in a nutshell. And I think those four pillars of the rosary, fasting, reconciliation, and consecration to Our Lady, those are the reasons why, and the fifth one of meditating on a virtue, trying to be like Mary, trying to be like Jesus, you really can't go wrong, and the miracles are extraordinary. I mean, you have people whose husbands, you know, were alcoholic, they were abusive, they stopped drinking, came back to church, apologized to the family, and stayed in the church. You have miracles like that. You have kids on pot, drinking, wanting nothing to do with God, suddenly back in the fold. So, you know, this consecration is more than just consecrating oneself to Mary. It's a huge, powerful intercession for whatever point of prayer that you point it to. It's going to be extraordinary in terms of the graces that fall on you and what you're praying for.
Yes. And there's a number of things we can talk about. And I think this idea of contemplating the various virtues for 46 days definitely separates this from any of the consecrations that I've done. And I can see where, you know, they talk about doing something for 30 days in a row in order to develop a good habit. And here you're doing it for 46 days. And it's probably something that I would imagine people that go through it would circle back. And it's not a one and done type thing. You've incorporated now the rosary, the fasting. And I would think that people would be hungry to go back and redo the like you said, these great readings, and especially on some of these virtues that maybe I know I struggle with, and certainly others may struggle with. Some of them may come easier than others, but the opportunity to go back and meditate and contemplate these virtues, because like you said, we need to do them and do them well if we expect to spend eternity with our Lord in heaven. So why not start working on them now?
Yeah, and I was shocked. I thought going into this, and I felt very guided by the Spirit and the whole thing, that 46 days might be too much. I thought, well, people have short attention span, they're busy, and it turns out it's perfect for busy people who either want to really plunge or who want to dip their toe in, because it's evangelized. It's people who are evangelicals have come into the Catholic Church. A Jewish woman came into the Catholic Church. It's very accessible and simple and beautiful. So I didn't know it would be such a tool of evangelization. And I also didn't know that and you'll see this in Amazon reviews from the book, it shocked me that these people who went through all 46 days wanted to start again right away. Mm. And I actually would not advise that. But at the same time, it shows how hungry people are and how they were being fed, and they didn't want to stop being fed. So they just did it again.
Yeah.
And, that was that certainly isn't showing any kind of burnout or desire to, thank God I'm at the end of that.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that you can certainly do it by yourself. You could do it with your family. But what I found really interesting is how, when it originated, that 46 individuals and families would actually get together to do this. And I guess originally they would do it with the idea of making the consecration on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which would, of course, be on December 12th. Which means counting back 46 days, they would start on October 28th, which, as you rightly point out, is the Feast of St. Jude.
And right, that was the way they did it to start.
Mm-hmm. And so for 46 days, they would go to each other's homes. Like you said, praying. And I think this is really powerful, that when you do this in a group versus doing it by yourself, that you have at least... you have other people that are praying for you, that other people that are offering the rosary for you. Other people, when they're fasting, they can offer up their sacrifice for you. And I agree with you when it comes to fasting. It was a number of years ago. There was actually a gentleman I had on the radio from New England, and he was a baker. And he actually made fasting bread. And I think... if I'm not mistaken, he may have gone out of business. I haven't been able to find it in quite a while. But, you know, you talk about doing a bread and water fast on your day or days. And, you know, he had found that, you know, most of the bread that we get these days has absolutely no nutritional value in it. And so he developed a fasting bread, and he would send you, you know, a couple dozen frozen rolls that you could pull out and heat up on your fasting day, that at least gave you a little bit of nutrition. And in doing that, not only, and I haven't driven out any demons personally, but I've
you have.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Not the groaning type and what have you, but those demons that reside in me that were, you know, constant, or I shouldn't say constant, but repetitive venial sin. And that in fasting, when we can get control of our appetite and our bodies, at least I found you get the ability to control a whole lot of other things in our lives. And
absolutely,
and without fasting, I never experienced any of that. So to be able to fast at least once and often twice a week has been a great benefit in my own spiritual life.
Yes, and know that if you do this consecration, that is optional to fast that much. That's something that if people have never fasted, they would need to work up to.
Yes.
So if it's done in a group, you're assigned one or two fasting days, depending on how many people. If there's less days, if there's more people, you might just have one day. during those 46 days. But also, I should tell people about another website. So to learn about how to be a coordinator, if you want to start a group, to learn all about it on the internet, you know, and decide if you want to enter into it or not, you can go to www.marysmantleconsecration.com. There's no apostrophe S. So Mary's, M-A-R-Y-S, Mantle, M-A-N-T-L-E, consecration.com. And if you can't remember that, just remember queenofpeacemedia.com and then click on Mary's Mantle Consecration and you'll find it. But that is everything. It's also in Spanish. Everything's in both languages. And there's a whole...
I think we lost you. Christine? Yeah, we're not... Are you back? No. So the website that Christina mentioned, marysmantleconsecration.com, actually will bring you to the Queen of Media website, where she rightly points out that you can purchase all the materials there. You can get the book. You can get the companion prayer journal. I have the book myself. And, you know, really well done and highly encouraged to pick it up. And we have you back, Christine?
You sure do.
All right. Sorry about that. I don't know if it was on our end or your end, but I was just, you know, I heard long ago that you need to tell everybody three times. So I was repeating that it's Mary's Mantle. Consecration.com, and that will actually take you out to queenofpeacemedia.com, but directly to the Mary Mantle Consecration page with all the materials that that you need.
Yeah, and to mention how it all started, you asked if it started before Our Lady appeared or after. It was after, because they were so inspired by her image in Mexico that what they did, and you know, we can be nostalgic for such times when everyone in a village would have faith, in the same faith, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone was in love with Our Lady. And so a woman in the village who was a seamstress, as most of them were, would take a green cloth, and she would have a gold star, and 46 families, 46 homes would decide to participate in this. And they would go, everyone who could, every evening for 46 days, would go from home to home. And in the home, they would pray in front of an image of Our Lady. And they would sew a star representing that family or that person in that home. They would drape the mantle, the green cloth, over them and say a rosary together and, you know, have some food. And then the next day, go bring the mantle to a different home and add another star. So by the end, you had visited these 46 homes. Everyone had prayed together a rosary. And then at the end of the parish, with the parish priest, on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, they would take that mantle full of everyone's offering, all the stars on Our Lady, and wrap that mantle on a statue of her in the church, and do a collective consecration. So it was very beautiful. A friend of mine, Patricia Sandoval, she's the subject of a book I wrote called Transfigured, Beautiful Disciple of God. Her mother wanted to revive this in her village and saw her mom taking this mantle from home to home and learned about it that way, and then started to do it electronically in different countries through WhatsApp. And that's when I got wind of it and said, oh, I think Mary's asking that this go around the world. So it's become very popular. It's been done in many, many different parishes. And I it's very odd. Usually there's complaints about things, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing work for God, there's something that, you know, some kind of complaint, this didn't go well, or didn't like it, or some kind of spiritual attack, and maybe the only attack is this phone call dropping, but that it's always been positively received, and the graces have been extraordinary. I mean, when you find that your kid comes back to church, you don't really have much to say that's negative, right? So I'm very happy about that. So that makes me feel confident that in sending it out there, it's just going to bless. And really, we only get out of it what you put in. So it's not magic. You have to pray from the heart. You have to really read the virtue or the gift of the Spirit and want it and enjoy it and pour yourself into it. Because if you do, you're going to get great results. You're going to be graced. I mean, that's God's promise, right? He doesn't Absolutely. Say pray the rosary or fast or consecrate yourself to my mom and nothing's going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the more you say that, and, you know, you mentioned that it's, you know, 2 minutes a day that for the reading for the various virtues for the 46 days. And I can see where somebody who, you know, goes through this once and says, oh, I can do this and I can do the reading in 2 minutes and pray for a couple of minutes, but then wanting to go back and delve even deeper. And I think it's like anything else. You get a reward, if you will, or that the grace that you receive from doing it, and you want more of it. And especially those, like, I look forward to getting some of my recovery friends in this, because, you know, you mentioned that we don't talk about virtues a whole lot, but I got a couple of them in particular that love to talk about the seven deadly sins. And then we map them over, of course, to the seven virtues that complement them or go against them. And to be able to give them 46 virtues instead of just the seven. Because I think people are hungry for that. And to your point, I'm not quite sure. I think we may be around the same age that I don't recall it even as a kid with, you know, people talking a whole lot about the virtues. We might have had to memorize them in a religion class, perhaps, but I don't remember an emphasis ever being placed on trying to live a virtuous life. I mean, you know, be good, but but never had anybody, especially 46 of them, lined up in front of me and say, hey, you know, you really should make an honest attempt at trying to live your life this way.
Yes, I'm kind of shocked at how it's not more of an intrinsic part. I mean, people don't even know how to recite the cardinal virtues anymore, or they might know the theological virtues, but it's, for whatever reason, it lost favor or emphasis. And I was lucky enough, I'm thinking back now, I never thought about this, but providentially, I had my kids in a school run by nuns, and they were doing a virtue program. So I'm sure, thinking back, that must have influenced me. And I asked my son, the teenager, he wants to be a priest now, praise God, but he was really influenced by the book, and I asked him to pick out his favorite ones. And is it okay if I read through one of the meditations in the Mary's Mantle book?
Sure. But Christine, if you wouldn't mind, we just got to the bottom of the hour, so you mind if we take a short break and then we can read it when we come back?
No, great, of course not.
Okay, very good. So, Joe, I want to thank you again, and we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about Mary's Mantle consecration and go through some of the virtues. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone, because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you again for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio Apostolate. Our guest today is Christine Watkins, and we've been talking about Mary's Mantle Consecration, a spiritual retreat for Heaven's Help, available from queenofpeacemedia.com, as well as Mary's Mantle Consecration.com. And before we went to the break, Mary had mentioned, you know, the impact that this consecration has had on people that she knows, and especially her son. And we were going to take a look at least one of the meditations for one of the virtues. So whichever one, Christine, whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is the fourth star on her mantle. And in the book, you'll see that she starts with no stars on her mantle, and one is lit up each time and placed on her mantle. So it's a physical reminder that when we pray through and meditate on a virtue and pray a rosary each day, we're actually lighting her up, as it were. So this one is trust. And I don't know about you, Ken, but trust is not always something I do perfectly.
Me neither.
So, do not worry, do not fear, is the message God speaks to us through his word more than any other. The one who made us has in mind a plan. In each soul lives a vocation, whether asleep in distraction and disbelief, or awake and pulsating in purpose and force. Could God expect us to do his will while he hides the way? No. Always in the mystery of his timing, he reveals to us the next step and the next, through subtle promptings and gentle nudges, if not resounding shouts. A heart attuned to him knows this. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. It is not our calling or duty to plan our lives down to the last controlling detail, a task that can be filled with presumption and pride. Our job is to pray and to follow the next footprint God leaves for us. For now, there is only one thing that is needed: to love God with all that we have, and to love others as ourselves. If our day is spent in turmoil over tomorrow, our Father's will has vanished in the clouds of worry. did our eyes rise to see the man sitting on the train? He was desperate for a kind hello. Did our ears hear the Spirit prompting us to speak to our coworker? She needed fraternal correction. Did we notice the girl sitting on the sidewalk? She was hungry for God's word because no one had ever fed her. Or were we so lost in our anxious thoughts of God's plan for our lives that we neglected to follow just that? How God suffers when he sees us so agitated and upset. How he tries to reassure us when we listen to our fears. Even after extending our cares to him, we can pull matters back into our grasp, like a child who claims impertinently that she can do the cooking better than her mother, and then takes over the kitchen, causing an ungodly mess. Our worry literally binds God's hands, but every act of complete blind trust unties them, causing the best effect possible. For God can accomplish what no human being is capable of. It is when we truly release our worries to the Lord and rest our head on his lap in peace that he can work for us the most glorious of miracles.
Amen. And I think trust, especially in this day and age, is something that many of us struggle with. And you know, this idea that we can trust in God. And you know, many people that pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet or have a devotion to the Divine Mercy, you know, that Jesus, I trust in you. And we say it, but do we really mean it? And I've gotten called out on it by my own spiritual director, because he thought that there were a number of things that I would be doing if I really trusted God, that I wasn't. And so I have to constantly look at, you know, do I trust God to take care of things if I give up control? You know, do I trust that I really am going to be happy, joyous, and free if I follow God's will instead of my own will, and try to generate my own happiness and my own good feelings? And I think a lot of us that have tried to live a spiritual life and try to be in tune with God, we know the answer. But whatever it is about this human condition that drives us to think that we know better than God, what's going to make us happy, what's going to make us feel good. And so this is one, I mean, you could spend a day with, or you could spend a lifetime with, in trying to fully trust God.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I went back to read it and thought, well, who wrote that and why didn't I get it the first time? So, what were you going to say? I don't want to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Because the one that, in going through the book, and I think that this is another one that once you go through this, once you go through this consecration, you now have these 46 meditations. So if you don't necessarily have to go through all 46 of them, that as things come up in life and you struggle with a particular virtue or a particular situation that one of these virtues would help greatly with, you can go directly to it. And in the recovery world, one of the places or things that most people struggle with is acceptance. They just want to fight against, you know, everything that comes their way. And when I read the reflection on acceptance, it answered all the issues. And, you know, why do we fight so hard and can't accept, you know, our place in life or things that are going on around us? Why can't we accept, you know, the fact that our kids aren't perfect and that they're not going to always do what we expect them to do, or even, you know, our spouse or our coworker, and you know, and then being able to accept our own station in life and where we've ended up, and usually as a direct result of the things that we've done in our lives that kind of land us where we are. And the beauty of it, I think, is that once we learn this virtue, once we are willing to, you know, have some acceptance and understand that, you know, some of the things that have happened to us aren't because God's out there throwing darts at us and wants us to pay the price for what we've done. It's quite the opposite. He wants us to experience his love and mercy so that we don't keep doing those things that got us to where we are. And so to accept not only what we've done, but what others have done and work forward from there instead of always trying to fix it or make it right. Oftentimes that's, you know, all we can do is accept it. And I think that that's why the Serenity Prayer is so popular among a lot of people, not just those in recovery, but to be able to accept the things we can't change. I can't change the weather. You know, I can't necessarily change my boss. I can't change I can't change the IRS and how would I pay in taxes. And so to be able to accept that those things are just a reality and that God's going to give me all the grace I need in order to cope with whatever it is that I need to accept is a huge gift in life. You know, stop fighting, resign from the debating society, and trust that God's going to take care of it.
That's beautiful. In fact, in preparing for this show, I thought I should read The Virtue of Acceptance. That was the one out of the 46 that leapt out at me, and then I said, what do I know? I'm going to give this to my son.
Is that odd? Like we said, and you said you were going to incorporate this, but is that odd or is that God?
Yeah. So I could read that one, and as you were talking about the issues that can come up, I thought it would be interesting because it answered a lot of what the cries of people's hearts are that you mentioned in terms of trust. So I opened before, is it okay to read that one on acceptance?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Before that, I opened up the journal. So if people are tuning in late, if you go to www.marysmantleconsecration.com, no apostrophe, just marysmantleconsecration.com. We're talking about Mary's Mantle Consecration, a spiritual retreat for heaven's help. And there's two books to the consecration. The second one is Mary's Mantle Consecration Prayer Journal. So we read The Virtue on Trust, and then you would also go to the journal, and it would have you do a prayer. Remember that you are in the holy presence of God. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Say the words, Jesus, I trust in you, and allow them to fill your soul with peace and serenity. And then you do a spiritual exercise, and the words have you go deeper into this virtue of trust. Is there anything the Lord Jesus Christ would refuse to suffer if he knew it would help you? Jesus profoundly grieves when one of his own is critically wounded. He aches when you are hurt, even in the slightest way. And he mixes his tears with yours so that not a drop of your shared suffering should be wasted. The same man holds the world in his hands. He commands the stars to move and the sea to calm. Is there anything outside of his control? Is it possible that the struggle you are facing is too unmanageable for him? No. In everything Jesus Christ wills or permits in your life, his ultimate plan is nothing less than to carry you in his arms to heaven, where he will free you from all suffering and wipe away your every tear forever. If this is his goal with you, and if there is nothing he cannot do, is there something still keeping you from placing your full trust in him? And then there is Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa quote. And she says, now I really rejoice when something does not go as I wish, because I see that he wants our trust. That is why I'm lost. Let us praise God as if we have got everything. And then there's Jeremiah 17 is the biblical quote. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. The Lord will be their trust. They are like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It does not fear heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still produces fruit. So So that's just a way with the journal, and then you have journaling space to go deeper into that particular virtue. So that was just more on the virtue of trust, and I thought it matched some of the things you just commented on that also relate to acceptance. Both are so difficult, no?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think because, again, of our human condition and because people have let us down, we've trusted them to do things or follow orders or whatever it is, and they let us down, and then we place those same attributes on God, and we, you know, we don't trust that he's going to come through. And it may be because, you know, we may have asked for something and we thought we didn't get it, or we asked for something and what we got was exactly what we needed, but it was different. And so this ability to trust God, especially if we struggle with trusting others and especially trusting ourselves, you know, do we even trust ourselves to do what we're supposed to do? And so being able to trust others and especially trust God can be difficult. And I've worked with people who really struggle with that. And it's like, well, just give God the small things. Give him a couple small things and see how it works out. And then maybe, and then maybe toss him a big one. And I've had to do that in my own life. And you know, in the next couple of months, you know, I mentioned my lack of trust and through conversations with my spiritual director. And I'm going to have a birthday tomorrow. I'm going to be 60 years old. And
happy birthday.
No, thank you. But I'm retiring from my IT career in the beginning of August in order to spend the rest of my days working in the addiction ministry full time. And
praise God.
No, and it's a gift from God, and it's probably something I should have done prior to now, but things just kind of worked out. And but there was that lack of trust there that, you know, is there going to be? And I'm sure that you have experienced this when you give up your life for God. You know, am I going to have the financial resources I'm going to need to take care of a family? You know, I have four kids, two grandkids, you know, a house to take care of. You know, so, and that's really where my lack of trust was, that I had to make sure that the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed, and that, and the bottom line is that in hindsight, I probably could have done this a while ago, but it was that, that lack of trust. But when we give God something to take care of, and you watch how he handles it, that, it's in doing that I'm willing to give him more and more, to the point where there's so many things in life, and we talked about this, that I don't have control of, that, you know, he's got total control. And I've watched holy people, great priests that have struggled with it, and to see him come through the other side and realize that, you know, as much as we fought against it, that, you know, God had everything under control. We just didn't see how he was going to make something even better come out of what we thought was going to be good. And so it makes it easier and easier. And I think that's another reason why to do this with other people. I think we as Catholics really stink at witnessing to one another what God has done in our lives. That by doing this in a group and witnessing to one another as these virtues unfold, you know, to see what God is doing in others' lives gives us hope that, you know, God's going to do the same for us.
Yes, and I think I've never thought of it this way, but it makes perfect sense that the more we can trust ourselves, the more we're going to trust God. And the more we can trust ourselves is the more we become virtuous, which is the more we work on the virtues, right? Yeah. The more we accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit into our soul and allow them to flourish. So it's all connected. And so once again, the importance of working on it, of saying, okay, I'm not just going to work at finding work or work at my job or whatnot. I'm going to work for what is eternal. Because, yes, I could make all the money in the world. I could have everything seemingly set when it comes to worldly things. And if I have no virtue, I have nothing.
No, amen.
And so The star of acceptance, I think this is another tricky one. I don't know if we have enough time. Do we have enough time for me to read it?
Sure.
Okay, so this is the 10th star. The human being, without having tried or wished for it, finds herself on Earth. She did not choose her parents. She did not choose her hometown or her looks. Those realities that she never wanted or never chose can become anathema. In frustration, she releases emotional aggression in order to attack and destroy them in her mind. A person can come to live in a perpetual battle against all that displeases her. Ashamed and saddened, she rejects herself and her circumstances, her weight, her nose, her temperament, her commute, her moodiness, her acquaintances, her political enemies, her relatives, mosquitoes, and withering heat. She resists everything that she dislikes but cannot change, and she labels it her adversary. As a result, she becomes depressed, anxious, and suspicious. If I abhor my reflection in the mirror, it is my enemy. If I reject the shrill voice of my neighbor, it is my enemy. My adversaries, therefore, live within me to the extent that I give them life through my resistance. Yet within me are also friends. The first stage of inner freedom involves befriending myself. If I accept my aging eyes or my awkward gait, they become my friends. The problem is not with my slowness in math or inability to deliver a good punchline, but in my rejection of my deficits and failures. No matter how unlikable another may be, if I embrace him, he is my friend. In acceptance, this ill-timed storm becomes brother storm. This influenza virus becomes sister flu. Wow, think of that one now. And if I accept my life's end, I have befriended death. Thus, no matter who I am or the circumstances of my existence, I can choose to live in the crossfire of a battle zone of my own making or within the boundaries of a peaceful, temperate forest. The power lies within me to embrace or reject those things I cannot change. Thus, the alchemy to turn evil into good rests in the palm of my hand.
Amen. And you read it. I'm thinking of St. Francis of Assisi, and I happen to be a secular Franciscan as well. And, you know, when you talk about brother, sun, and sister moon, and you know, Lady Poverty, and how he attributed, humanness, if you will, to these different things, whether it was in nature or in life. And, we're all going to experience death one day. As a matter of fact, at our secular Franciscan meeting the other night, the woman was sharing about it. And it's probably the single most important event in our life. And yet, how much time do we spend preparing for it? And right. So rather than trying to do everything we can to avoid death and to, escape it, and we can't, right? We all know the sooner or later we're all going to die, but to actually prepare and prepare well for it is really the goal. And I think it should be, anyway, the goal in life, so that when we do meet Jesus face to face, that it's not going to be this huge, scary event. It should be a welcoming event, and we're finally meet a friend face to face, who we've been talking to for all these years, and we finally get to embrace him one on one, mano a mano, and go on to eternal life, hopefully. So we have just I was just going to say, we just have a couple of minutes left, Christine. So if you have some final words and whatever you were going to say, you're more than welcome.
I think what you said is so important. Monks used to, or probably still do, some of them have a skull on their desks to remind them of their death at every moment. And if death is a welcome thing, that's not a scary thing. It's saying, wait a minute, it prioritizes my day. Right?
That's right.
If I could meet Jesus face-to-face any second, like 2 seconds pass, I meet him, am I ready? And if we're ready in every second, then that banishes every ounce of fear. So, yes, I'd like to just say thank you, Ken, for having me on, for letting me talk about Mary's Mantle consecration. And if people are interested in learning more, there's videos about it. I forgot to mention that myself and Christine Watkins and Deacon David Leatherby also have video talks that are on YouTube or that can be bought on DVD if a person doesn't want to go online. And each week you watch a talk, and that helps you go deeper into the consecration and the four pillars that I mentioned earlier of Mary, the prayer, the fasting, the consecration, the rosary and such. And people really enjoy that. And also there's a big poster where it's a beautiful poster where you can add a star sticker to each day to see the progress of the stars being added on her mantle, and people frame that at the end, coloring page for children. It's quite a beautiful thing to do on your own or with your family, or maybe there's somebody out there who wants to bring it to their pastor. You can contact Kati or Judy through the email, orders@queenofpeacemedia.com. It's all on the web. If you go to marysmantleconsecration.com or queenofpeacemedia.com, you can find all of it if you think you're being called to this. And if you are, I assure you that no one who's done it has regretted it.
Amen. Well, that brings us right to the top of the hour. And Christine, it's been great to have you. The hour has flown by. And it's great to have you back again, and we'll chat again about another upcoming show. But again, it's Mary's Mantle Consecration, a spiritual retreat for Heaven's Help, available at marysmantleconsecration.com and queenofpeacemedia.com. Christine, thank you again for your yes and all that you do for God and our church and for us individuals who are trying to grow closer to Him. We certainly appreciate it and appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you. And the same to you.
Very good. We'll talk again soon. For our listeners, I want to thank you again for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be here on this Wednesday afternoon. And it's always a pleasure and a privilege on my part to be with you. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care. And God bless.